What a blessing it is to know, dear Jesus, that you are ours. If we're truly born again, you're ours. Mine, the Son of God is mine this morning. Lord, we go to your word today. I pray that you would feed us. I pray that you would excite us. I pray that you would challenge us where necessary. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would, please. I've got songbooks coming out my ears up here and everything. Don't let me forget the announcements at the end. This is new for me. All right, the book of Ephesians. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate them. Tonight, we have a music ministry meeting after the evening service. I'll tell you about that afterwards. I've got to find Ephesians myself here, okay? All right, we're in chapter 1 still. We started this last week. This book from the Apostle Paul. It wasn't written to a church at Ephesus. It just says to the believers. And really, this was probably a circular type of letter that went around to all of the believers that were in the area at that time. It was passed around, and it was a letter of encouragement to them. I indicated last week that there's a very simple outline to this book. The first three chapters have to do with the Christian's wealth. I'm not talking about money or what's in your pocketbook. I'm talking about the wealth that we have because God is mine. Amen? He's mine. There's wealth. And the second half of the book, verses 4-6, have to do with the walk of the believer. And we'll get to that in due time. But starting here in chapter 1, we went through verses 3 last week. And we went to verse 3, we stopped at verse 3, and let's look at it to get started this morning. What a great verse this is. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Wow. What a great verse this is. Now, hold your place in Ephesians. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. We had the Peter plan. Remember that? Not long ago. Well, look at 2 Peter 1 verse 3. This was our key verse when we were talking about the Peter plan. It says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." What a great verse. You know, I like these chapter 1, verse 3 verses. 2 Peter 1, 3 and Ephesians 1, 3. And look at one more. Look at 1 Peter 1. 3. Okay? I don't know that there's any particular significance to this, but these 1-3 verses are tremendous. This one also starts with the word blessed. Verse 3 in chapter 1, 1 Peter. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." A lively hope. You have to be alive to have a lively hope. You have to be saved to have a lively hope. So we'll go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let me start out with a couple illustrations. There was a drill sergeant one time. And you know how those guys are, drill sergeants. And he was standing before a bunch of raw recruits just came in, the military. And so he stood before them, and you know how they scream and bark orders at the soldiers. He said, "Are you dumbbells? Excuse me. All you dumbbells, get moving." And you know what? They all did. Except one of them just stayed put. So the drill sergeant went up to that one that said stayed put, and he got in his face right here. And he said, "Well?" And the recruit said back to him, "There certainly were a lot of them, weren't there, sir? Dumbbells." And he didn't classify himself as one, I guess. But you know what? There's a lot of believers, I believe, let me use a, not dumbbells, let me use a different word. A lot of believers that are really ignorant, that doesn't sound so good either, unknowing maybe, about all the blessings that they have in Christ. The wonderful life it is. The Scottish Bible expositor, Alexander McLaren, said this: "We may have as much of God as we want." Why? He's mine. And he's good. And we can have as much of him as we want. He went on to say this: "If you're allowed to go into a bank vault and told you can have whatever you want in the bank vault, and you only come out with 1 cent, whose fault is it?" It'd be yours, wouldn't it? Because you were told you could have anything in the bank vault. I have a little book I brought in. Where did I do with it? Oh, here it is. I've had this for years. It was written by Charles Spurgeon. I don't know where or when I came by this, but I was so blessed. This was written back in the 1800s. This paperback was not put out then, but still my pages are all yellowed. It's pretty old itself. But he wrote this book, Charles Spurgeon, The Prince of Preachers. It's called Faith's Checkbook. He used the analogy of a bank. All God's promises in the book here are in a bank for you and for me. We just have to mine them out. We just need to get them. And he called this book Faith's Checkbook. It's like you're given a blank check, and you can write it out for whatever you want. And it's signed by God Almighty. All his blessings are yours because he's mine, mine, mine. And because he's a good God, he's so good to me. Now, believe that this morning. We're going to look at a few verses here as we go on. A little bit of an outline here on this chapter, beginning in verse 4. In verse 4 to verse 6, if some of you like to keep outlines and so forth, there's blessings from God. And I'll point that out in verses 4 to 6. The blessings are from God. Starts out in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us. Or verse 3 indicates it's to us God, and it continues, blessings from God. Then you go to verse 7, and that's where you find blessings from Christ, okay? And we'll see that as we read through it. And beginning in verse 13 and verse 14, you have blessings from the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, it's interesting to note, in all of these 10 verses, 4 to 14, in the original language, there is no punctuation in it. It was all one sentence. Punctuation came 3rd or 4th century, all right? But scribes in olden days left out punctuation because writing on papyrus or their ancient material, they tried to condense as much as they could, and there was no punctuation in the originals. And so that came later. But if you think about verses 4 to 14 as one sentence, in one sentence is essentially crammed into it blessing after blessing for those of us that are in Christ. And you go back to verse 3, which we already read, it says that all of these blessings are in Christ. So I repeat to you, there's the need to be born again, to be saved, and to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Now, these verses deal with some very practical areas that all of us face in life, such as, where am I? What's going on in my life? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that are tossed and turned in life because problems. Problems are a part of life. And so many things are happening to people in this day and age. I, as pastor, know things that go on in our congregation that the rest of you don't know. All kinds of turmoil. Where am I in this whole mess of life, if I can put it like that? Not only where am I, but where am I going? What's going to happen? Of course, we know the Lord is going to return, but before that, what's going to happen in my life? What about children, my children? What about old age? What is going to happen? This chapter here has to do with absolutes. Absolutes from the Lord. Not, oh, I hope this happens, but absolutes that he lays before us. These 10 verses through verse 14 are filled with doctrine. And doctrine is important. What we believe is important. And in fact, in this message today, I can't do justice to all of the doctrine that is in these 10 verses, and I'm not sure that we'll get through verse 14. But in these verses, you see blessings from God, and you see this, God's grand design in life. Do you know that he has a grand design for this world? All right? And we get that through the Word of God, through prophecy. We can understand that. But I also say to you this morning, he has a grand design for your life. Oh, he's got it planned out. And I'll point that out to you as we go along in these verses. He has a grand design. Now we'll look first at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, immediately in some people's mind, when they see the word chosen, it conjures up the thought of election. Well, let me just say to you that election is found in the Word of God. It's a Bible word. It's a Bible teaching. Now, John Calvin took that issue, and he came up with his doctrines of Calvinism, okay? And he kind of had an acronym there of TULIP to describe it. And I'm not going into it today, but I'll just say this. I and this church do not agree with all of his points. Now, my father-in-law used to say John Calvin was a very smart man. He was, if you've read anything from him. I wouldn't want to debate him. He is too smart, okay? But I disagree with some of his points, all right? We believe that whosoever, for instance, limited atonement is one. Irresistible grace, those were some of his teaching. And I don't really want to get into that today other than to say we don't go along with all of his teaching. We believe the Bible says whosoever will may come. Amen? I'll give you a very simplistic explanation of where I stand on this matter of election or being chosen. Here it is. You ready? This is deep. Okay, you got your pens, pencils. This is deep. Here it is. If you're saved, you're part of the elect. If you're not saved, you're not part of the elect. So, get saved and be part of the elect. How do you like that, huh? That's what I believe, okay? But I like this word chosen, nevertheless, going back to the verse, chosen, and the thought that God chose me. I remember back in Bible college days thinking about all of these issues that are out there. And by the way, the matter of Calvinism can split churches, and we're just not going to let that happen, okay? I've talked with many people that are Calvinists. I've read many books through the years and so forth. I had one individual who was a mentor of mine. He said he was not only a five-point Calvinist, he said, I'm a six-point Calvinist. He says, I go out and reach the elect. Fine, go ahead, do it. Reach the elect and so forth. But don't get sidelined by this teaching that Calvin came out with. But I like the word chosen, and I want to just focus on that for a minute, if I could, with you. Chosen. I remember in Bible college when I gave thought to this matter, meditated on it. It's a wonderful thought to realize that God has chosen you and me if you're saved. I've got to add that. If you know Christ as your Savior, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know you'd be in heaven if you were to die today. Okay? If you know that, what a wonderful thought to realize God has chosen me. Yesterday, we went out with my daughter and her family, her husband Tony. And by the way, Tony is going to speak for us after my surgery on a Sunday evening. God is scheduled to be here. And they've been here one time before, but you'll be blessed, I believe. Fine young man and two grandkids there. We went to Crane's Orchard. And we do this every year. What a beautiful day yesterday. And of course we eat there. It's a little expensive, but we take care of it for them. And we just have a great time with the grandkids. The little boys rode in the little cow train. And then we all went for a hayride. A lot of fun. But before we did that, we went out into the apple trees. And we picked some. We didn't need a whole lot. But we picked some. Some of them had some black spots on them, the Honeycrisp. But they told us that didn't matter. It's nothing bad, and it didn't matter. And but I picked some of the ones that were a little small. I don't know how they get such beautiful apples there. By the way, our senior color tour is going to go there to Crane's. For a little bit, we got some other stops and so forth. I don't know, is that the 25th? That'll come up. That's in your announcements, okay? And so some of them, a lot of them are huge. I don't like a huge apple because I can't quite eat a whole apple then. So I picked some that were about mid-size. I chose my apples. If you're saved today, God chose you. He chose you. And he wants all men, women, boys and girls in this world to come to a knowledge of him as Lord and Savior. But when he does, bear in mind the fact that he chose you personally. I remember when I just settled on that thought and I thought, how comforting it is to know that God chose me. Just me. As a young boy, he wanted me. And if you know Christ, you can feel that way too. So he chose you. Now, you know what? As you look at this verse 4, if he's chosen you, you've been saved this morning. Look at the end part of this verse. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, here's the thought. Wake up. If he's chosen you and you've been saved, live for him. That's what it says, the second part of that verse. Live, be holy in your life. That's the words that you speak. That's the thoughts you have. That's the actions you do. That's the places you go. Be holy in your life because He's chosen you. Let's go on, okay? Verse 5. Let me get there. Let's read it. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, that word predestined trips some people up too, and they get into the whole matter of predestination. But let me just say to you, this verse doesn't have anything. This verse doesn't have anything to do with salvation, okay? It has to do with us after we're saved. He's predestined us, or He's predetermined our life, or He's foreordained our life. Nowhere in the Bible does it say anyone is predestined to hell. Okay? You can't find that. I challenge you. You won't find that in the Bible. Somebody, anybody is predestined to hell. This has to do with a person that has been saved. This whole book is written to save believers. Okay? And when you're saved, He's predestined your life. He's got a plan for your life. And it's comforting to realize that. With our children, you know what? God gave us two beautiful children, a son and a daughter. Our son is oldest. He lives in Wisconsin. And they were going to be here for the Apple 15 yesterday, but plans didn't work out and they couldn't come. But when they were young, Christy and I determined that as their parents, in their destiny, okay? And by the way, don't believe what the state says that they're in charge, right? No, God gave the parents the responsibility and the right to raise their children. In our schools, it's not the school board who decides what's best for our children. It's not the universities of this country that decide what's best for children. Parents, that's the responsibility God has given to you. Based upon the Word of God, you better have a guidebook if you're going to do it. And Christy and I determined when our kids were little that we wanted them to have a Christian education. And I know everybody can't do that. Everybody doesn't do that. But you still got responsibilities. But we decided with our kids we wanted to have them to have a Christian education. And so at the time, when they started school, they both went to a Christian school in Holland. I happened to be the principal there, the administrator there, so it was kind of a no-brainer. But they were in the Christian school. Then when we went to Manitoba, to Canada, there was no Christian school up there, I guarantee you that. So we homeschooled. Wonderful job. Well, then when we went to Ontario, now there was a Christian school again, and our kids are getting into the teenage years. And God just works that out. He works things out so beautifully. And both of our kids went to the Christian school that's located in Kinross in the UP. We were living on the Canadian side. Our kids crossed the border every day. At first, I drove them across the border every day. The guards, the customs agents there and the guards, they got real friendly with us. They knew us real good. Knew us by first name. I drive up to a booth, hi, Kim, and I say, hi, Jim. And that's not how it normally goes when you cross the border. But going to school today? Yep, going to school. Well, that's good. Of course, they had to ask certain questions. You bringing anything in? No. Okay, have a good day. And that's how it went. Eventually, my son was old enough, and he drove across the border every day. And they graduated from the Christian school. They both went to a Christian college, which is what we wanted them to do. And they married Christian mates. And now they're in good churches. And they're serving God. We prayed predestined that they would go in that direction. That was what we determined. And you have that right, that responsibility with children. And here's the thing. God does that with you and me. That was just an example I gave you. But he does that with you and with me. He wants to guide our destiny. Now listen. It's not without hang-ups. It's not without problems. There will be trials. Sometimes they're of our own making. But he wants to guide you through your life. Remember how I started out? Where are you? Where are you going? He wants to determine that destiny for you. And then I like also in verse 5 here that word adopted. Adopted. He's predestined. He's determined that we are to be adopted as children. As children. God knows what's best for your life. He has a plan for your life. Everybody in here probably knows Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, there's a condition, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He's got a plan. Trust him. Trust. He's a good God. He's good this morning. Is he yours? He's mine. Is he yours? And he's a good God this morning. Well, let's see here. Let's go ahead to verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Do you see all the doctrine in here? I'm not really going into depth on doctrine in here, but you have the word chosen in verse 4, in verse 5, predestined, also the word adoption. You can just spend a ton of time on every word. You have in this verse 6 the word accepted. You have in verse 7 the word redemption. You have the word forgiveness. In verse 9, it's talking about the mystery of his will, and we probably won't get there until next week. In verse 10, it talks about the dispensations. And verse 11, it talks about an inheritance. And then in verse 13, in verse 13, it talks about being sealed. And then we'll get to this inheritance and the earnest of our inheritance in verse 14. There is so much. You could go back and dig and dig and dig on this passage of Scripture. This is the believer's wealth. We're on verse 5 here. Or no, verse 6. All right, verse 6. The word here, accepted. Accepted in the Greek has a number of meanings. It means, okay, listen to these. To make graceful, charming, lovely, agreeable, to pursue with grace, to compass with favor, to honor, the last one, to honor with blessings. This word accepted in verse 6 has so many meanings that God has accepted us. H.A. Ironside used to be the pastor of Moody Memorial Church. It wasn't called Memorial back when he pastored it. It was Moody Bible Church over in Chicago. He lived 1876 to 1951 is when he died. He tells this story about one time being in the countryside in an area where there was sheep farming, herding, farming, whatever, ranching. And he saw one time an ewe, a mother sheep, walking with a small sheep behind it, but it looked like that sheep had six legs. And it looked like its fur skin was all torn up. So what in the world? He didn't understand, and so he asked, and a shepherd, or one of the workers, explained it to him, actually showed it to him. It was a young sheep. Well, what had happened is this ewe, is that what I'm saying right? The mother sheep had lost a baby. There was another sheep that had a lamb, But the mother sheep died. And so the ranchers, whatever they're called, tried to get the first sheep over here that lost its baby to accept the second baby. But it wouldn't, because it walked over to it and smelled it, and it could tell by its smell that it was foreign. It was not hers. It was different. And so the sheep herder farmer explained to Ironside, what we did is we took the sheep that died, we skinned it, and we put its fur over the sheep, the little baby sheep that didn't have a mother. And then we brought it to the ewe and let it sniff. And now it recognized this little lamb that had the covering on it as being a familiar scent. It was a family scent that it recognized, and it took it under its wing. That's what God has done for us. All of our sin, all of our rottenness, He's taken the blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary, and He's placed Himself over our dirty, rotten sin. And God the Father now recognizes us as a child of His because of what Christ has done for us. Amen? Oh, if you don't know Him here today, you've never been saved. You need to get saved before it's too late. Adopted. That's what that word means. I'm going to stop. I told Blanche I would. Okay, well, I'm trying to keep my word. I'd love to go on. You can close your Bibles. This isn't exactly how I...